Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, March the 4th, Shrove Tuesday. Hope you're enjoying some pancakes a bit later on. Coming up, as drama Toxic Town hits Netflix, hear from a doctor who is involved in the real-life story. And a woman demands an apology after being told she couldn't shop in a Morrison's store with her guide dog. But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Kent campsite's been given permission to extend its opening hours, despite concerns from people living nearby over noise. Lily Roos near Deal will be able to welcome visitors for 11 months of the year instead of just seven. Now, the business opened after lockdown, but like many, has suffered from recent bad weather and rising bills. Well, Kate joins me now on the podcast. Kate, thanks ever so much for being on. Can you tell us about Lily Roos Glamping then and about their plans to expand their opening months?
Well, it's Lily Roos Glamping in Hacklinge, and previously guests could come and stay in either a Bell or pop-up tent or camper van between April 1st and October 31st every year. But the operators of the site, David and Sarah Herriot, say closing the business for 5 months each year made it unsustainable in the long term. It meant they were unable to take on full-time staff and they were having to pay for security and other bills even when they were shut. So they asked Dover District Council if they would be allowed to open from February to October instead.
And what were some of the objections, Kate, and the concerns raised?
Well, neighbours say having guests during the summer months was bad enough, but the prospect of 9 months of noise pollution is daunting. People living nearby say over the years, guests at Lily Roos have encroached onto their land, causing disruption close to their homes. They're unhappy at the thought of having to put up with extra traffic, music groups and private celebrations for most of the year.
Now, they have had their expansion bid approved. How are the owners going about reassuring locals there won't be any problems?
Yes, well, not only have council approved the extended opening hours, they've also approved a condition which will allow members of the public, not just overnight guests, to enjoy the on-site bar and dining options in the winter months. But as David says, they're not going to change anything about how they're run. He says they're not a party venue and so they do respect their neighbours. For them, it means they can keep the doors open and keep everything up and running and they won't have to lay off staff. It's worth mentioning as well that during the application process, there were 9 comments supporting the plans and praising the growth of local business.
Kate, thank you ever so much. And you can read that story in full by heading to the website.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a Snodland man who sent indecent pictures to someone he thought was a teenage boy has been sent to prison for 4 years and 10 months. Jack Hickey set up a chat room profile, then convinced his victim to communicate via Snapchat. The 28-year-old from Woodlands Avenue created another account to contact a separate boy while waiting to be sentenced. A Margate gig where a teenage girl suffered a fatal overdose is set to return this year, with bosses told to increase security and safety measures. 17-year-old Emily Stokes died after going to the Worried About Henry Festival at Dreamland last June. It'll be back this summer and has been rebranded the Margate Drum and Bass Festival. A dad who lost 9 teeth after being hit with a catapult outside a pub near Swanley says he needs to raise £11,000 for dental treatment. Tom Reaver was attacked near the Chequers in Farningham High Street during February half term. The 29-year-old says it was completely random and unprovoked. Police are investigating. Now, an inquiry into the deaths of at least 27 people who died when their small boat capsized in the Channel has begun. Evidence is being heard to find out what lessons can be learned from the tragedy in November 2021. Counsel to the inquiry, Rory Phillips KC, says staffing issues may have been a contributing factor.
As I've said, the Coast Guard were on notice from at least 2020 that Dover was under significant strain. There was a chronic understaffing problem. Whilst they had put in place a number of measures in response, including a recruitment drive, by November 2021, they had not been able to recruit the numbers required to make up the shortfall. Altered shift patterns for Dover employees and remote coverage from other stations were therefore routinely relied upon. By November 2021, with the unprecedented numbers of small boat crossings, the risk of overwhelm was real. Staff at Dover were working long hours, and some, such as the SMC at Dover on the night watch, were routinely working altered shift patterns, which reduced their time off by a third. the persistent problem of understaffing in combination with the spike in numbers of small boat crossings in 2021 placed immense pressure on staff at Dover. And the evidence shows that the Coast Guard were fully on notice.
Kent Online reports.
Next up today, and bosses at a dental surgery in Margate say they could be treating thousands of patients a year, but they can't get an NHS contract. Nightingale opened last month, and although it's a private practice, they want to provide NHS appointments to help meet current demand. Teresa Kelsall is the assistant manager. She's been speaking to Gabriel Morris, who's from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
There's 17,500 new homes being built within the area. There is a lack of dentists in the Thanet area per se. It's really needed as much as an NHS dentist as well.
I suppose even at full capacity, every surgery completely full, it still probably would be able to meet the demand for dentistry here in the area.
Probably not, but it would be able to take a big chunk of that and give something back to the community, definitely.
Now, at the moment, you're independent, you haven't got NHS contracts, but that's something that you are keen to look at, and I believe you have looked at, but at the moment, unable to be able to get an NHS contract. Just explain a little bit about why, at the moment, you haven't been able to get that NHS contract.
So the contracts go out on a yearly basis, and then you have to put in for tender for these contracts. A lot of the dentists that are in the area are corporations, and they mop up a huge amount of contract for the actual surgeries. And it's really difficult to get in there and try and push our way in. We only want a small contract, we're not asking for the world, but we would love to be able to provide NHS dentistry because I feel it's really needed around this area.
I'm just going to get you to expand on that. Why do you think an NHS contract is really important for this business?
Because a lot of people look at private as unaffordable. We come from an area where it's, you know, we're not a big affluent area. I think what the people need to be able to access NHS, it's really important. It used to be that you could go to any dentist and be able to get on their register straight away, and that's not the case anymore. I think that if contracts were met by the dentists that have NHS contracts, then it would be less of an issue. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
It comes as one local councillor says it's easier to win the lottery than an NHS dentist contract in Thanet. Health bosses say millions have been ploughed in over the last 2 years into increasing dental provision. Well, we'd like to hear your story. Perhaps you've struggled to get an NHS dentist, or maybe you are a dentist and you're keen to have an NHS contract. You can get in touch by emailing news@thekmgroup.co.uk. You can also leave a comment on the story or message us via our socials.
Kent Online reports.
Drivers have been left furious after a number of long-term roadwork projects kicked off in Ashford this week. Both Kennington Road and Newtown Road are going to stay shut through the spring for gasworks. It means that there are seven schemes taking place in the town with key routes blocked or with temporary traffic lights. We have been hearing it's led to very long delays in the town. Don't forget, you can get regular travel updates by listening to our sister radio station at KMFM. You can also head to our travel blog at Kent Online. Hundreds of people have backed plans to turn a derelict hotel in Gravesend into a petrol station and shop. BP Pulse revealed plans to demolish the old Tollgate Hotel off the A2 and build a service stop and M&S food store. But National Highways are worried it could impact the safe and efficient running of the A2. Now, a Kent doctor who's featured in a new Netflix drama says it's important the story is retold and lessons are learnt. Toxic Town is about families in Corby whose children were born with limb defects. Investigations found that waste driven through the town after a steelworks was demolished caused babies to have upper limb deformities. I've been speaking to Dr. David Penman, who's an expert in fetal medicine based in Hempstead, and he gave evidence at the time.
What the the drama series really rather glossed over was the technicalities of the medical side of things, I suspect, because it wouldn't make particularly good drama. It gets rather dry. But the interesting thing, and this was a sort of major argument in court, was why were did most of these children only have one side affected, what we call unilateral limb amputation abnormalities? And it just so happens that cadmium, which was one of the compounds that I'd been informed was within this toxic soup, is one of those such substances. And so, along with circumstantial evidence from papers related to the activities that humans might involve in themselves in that cause exposure to cadmium, that was the sort of basis behind the medical evidence for the case.
It's absolutely fascinating. How important do you think it is that we are seeing this played out on a Netflix drama? Because I must admit, I didn't know about this story at all until I saw the advert for the programme and then started to read a bit more and couldn't believe what had happened.
Extremely important, both for the families involved, but also as a lesson that these things can happen, and unless one sticks to proper protocols of health and safety, such disasters could happen in different industries and what. The need for doing things properly. And I think, and reminding people that there are nasty substances around, and the human, developing human in the mother's uterus is a very sensitive little thing, that if you start exposing it to nasty things, it can cause it damage. And I think it is useful that this case is highlighted again. And these sort of reminders are useful both to the public, but to legislators, that we need to keep legislation both up to date and enforced.
And how it's portrayed on screen, I mean, it must have been such a scary time for women in particular there at the time who were having babies. Do you think that that's been put across, how they were all feeling, how concerned they were and how confused they were as to what was going on?
I think it does. I mean, although clearly it is loosely based on the case, shall we say, it's a drama, not a documentary. And there are areas where, if one wanted to be picky, one could disagree with what the way things are portrayed. But I think overall, it does give a reasonable feel for how the mothers felt, how the children themselves felt, and the whole background to the case, that people were not following standard protocols. People were playing wide and fast with the rules to make money. And that always seems to be the driver, that you cut corners to make money, but at someone's risk.
Who plays you in the Netflix drama? And were you quite happy of their portrayal?
Philip Childs, I think, was playing me. I appear in episode 3, and I was pleased to see he was wearing braces, although not quite as fancy as my collection of braces.
Absolutely fascinating to hear from Dr. David Penman there. Toxic Town is currently on Netflix.
Kent Online News.
A woman says she was humiliated after being told to leave a Morrison's Daily in Canterbury because she has a guide dog. Caroline Kennelly has just 3% of vision and relies on Dougie to be able to do everyday tasks. She was told she couldn't go into the store in Saxham Fields because the owner has a severe allergy to pets. Well, Caroline's been explaining what it was like.
It made me feel humiliated, like a second-class citizen. You know, I should be entitled to walk into a shop and just live my everyday life like everybody else does. You know, just because I've got an assistance dog, that shouldn't stop me walking into a shop and getting what I need and just living my everyday life. It made me feel embarrassed. it, every time you get an access refusal, it just impacts your confidence a little bit every single time. And then after that access denial, you've got to then build up your confidence again, because, you know, in the back of your head, you're thinking, am I going to go out today and get another access refusal? And, you know, with lots of people around, when this kind of thing happens, it's just, you know, you want the ground to swallow you up. And some people just don't listen to, you know, when you're explaining to them that he's an assistance dog and, you know, he's here to help me because I'm, you know, blind. And, you know, it's just so frustrating that this is still happening in 2025.
And tell me a bit more about the apology you were given and how that's made you feel.
So the apology I've been given from an email that my daughter sent to Morrison's, I guess, customer services, you know, was just explaining that they don't, this isn't the way they, you know, their policy works, and that guide dogs and assistance dogs are welcome in their stores, which, you know, is a nice response. And, you know, they reassured me that, you know, this isn't what, you know, they aim for, you know, for disability rights and so on. But, you know, for me, what I want is an apology from the person that actually humiliated me on that day and prevented me from living my everyday life. You know, Morrison's as a whole, I've been in Morrison's stores and the big stores and never ever been refused access. But, you know, I think across the board, I think it's these little shops, you know, the smaller chains, the franchises that, you know, guide dog owners and assistance dog owners seem to come across, you know, most of the problems, really.
They're working with the franchise to find a solution. A new exhibition train is going to be making a stop in Kent this summer as it travels around the country to promote rail innovation. Inspiration will have four coaches, each one decked out with exhibits and activities designed to inspire children. It'll be in Margate on the 20th and 21st of July. An MRI scanner has been installed at a new multi-million pound diagnostics centre on Sheppey. The machine arriving marks the second phase of the centre's opening after CT scanning started in the winter. The facility at the community hospital in Minster will help provide a range of tests on patients closer to home. And an exhibition showing the impact baby loss has on families has gone on display in Gravesend. We Remember features paintings, drawings, photos and poems created by bereaved parents. Charities including Willow's Rainbow Box and Abigail's Footsteps have joined forces to showcase the work at St George's Art Centre.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and first up, Gillingham are on the road in League Two tonight. They're travelling to take on Newport County. It follows their 1-0 win over Morecambe on Saturday that brought their 13-game winless run to an end. Here's manager John Coleman, who spoke to us after that victory.
It's difficult for us. It's more difficult for us than probably any other team. Maybe Carlisle, but because they're far away as well. But we have to travel to so many long trips that, you know, you're trying to just get that freshness into the players that at this stage of the season, you know, it's ebbing, and we've just got to keep them motivated, keep tickling them, keeping them happy. And that's why I said, you know, after Tuesday, you know, we had a good meeting on Wednesday, so the lads lost the day off on Wednesday too, and I felt we needed to do that. It wasn't a punishment. We needed to dissect that game and look at the areas that we can improve, and we definitely did today. We definitely improved in that. We got a lot more balls into Hawks' feet than into the air. That's something that we had worked on, and we'd showed them. But, like, you know, it's now a time where you're looking at trying to keep the players as fresh as possible, but still having to commit the time to get ourselves playing the way we know we can play.
Kick-off tonight is at 7.45. The Gills are currently 18th in the table. Tonight's opposition are two places above them. And Whitstable have been drawn against Hartbury University in the semi-finals of the FA Vars. The Oyster Men are just one tie away from a trip to Wembley. The two legs will start with a home tie for Jamie Coyle's men. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.